Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today we come to this moment. People all over the world, as we're here, are watching and will watch what we do here. Our government comes together. The Congress and the courts join the transition of executive responsibility. One political party more pleased today and on every inaugural day than the other. But this is not a moment of division. It's a moment of unification. A new administration begins and brings with it a new beginning.
Missouri Senator Roy Blunt today, one of the inauguration coordinators, something he's in charge of the inauguration, was as well for Donald Trump's inauguration 4 years ago. And he becomes somewhat of a master of ceremonies, along with Amy Klobuchar, who, you know, just, hopefully this is my only petty comment of the day. It was interesting to me that it started snowing when she was talking. Let's listen here to what she had to say as the other.
We celebrate a new president, Joe Biden, who vows to restore the soul of America and cross the river of our divides to a higher plane. And we celebrate our first African American, first Asian American, and first woman vice president, Kamala Harris.
So here's what I'm going to say about this, the first historical moments of today. Kamala Harris as the vice president. Whether you love her or hate her, it is historical that there is a female as the vice president of the United States. It just is. I happen to be female. Hopefully you could tell. If not, then, you know, here it is. I'm a female. And I have to ask myself, as if I can remove my nerdery that I exist in on a daily basis of being, you know, saturated in politics pretty much from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. That's the saddest thing I've said in a long time. When I think about a woman being the vice president, does that make me feel like I should stand a little bit taller today? And I'm going to tell you what, for me, it doesn't, because I know what she stands for. And if I'm going to stand tall next to what she stands for, I think what she stands for matters. However, let me add into this statement very quickly. It is historical. It is important to acknowledge. And I asked my 8-year-old daughter today, who is homesick from school today, and she's upstairs right now. And I asked her, I said, "You think it's pretty cool that there's a woman who's the vice president of the United States?" And she says to me, she goes, "Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool because women should be able to do that too, and I think it's cool that they do it." She goes, "I don't really know what she stands for, but I think it's cool that, you know, women should be able to do that too." And it was that simple for her. So I'll take it. I'll take that for what it's worth. But here, this kind of for me falls into the realm of, would you let Donald Trump raise your children? It's like, well, of course not, because that would be creepy and very irresponsible for me on any level to be like, "Here, take care of my children." When as a parent, my child observes something historical like this happening that might be seen through my daughter's eyes in a way that is different than my son's eyes, I think it's a good opportunity to have that conversation with them. But make no mistake, if I don't talk to her about the importance of what a vice president, any president, any senator, any mayor, any alderman, whoever is standing in the stead of people like me and you and her, if I don't explain the responsibility that they hold to represent the American people, and ultimately the Constitution in any compact way that an eight-year-old, and as they grow older, age-appropriate way that they understand, that these people have a duty to represent something and to stand for something. And to me, I don't ever want her to look at a woman and think that because you're a woman, you can or can't do something. Or because it's a man, they can or can't do something, or shouldn't do something. Or because someone has a skin color, that they can or can't do something. We teach our kids these lessons. They learn through their eyes, they learn through their ears, but they learn these things. So being able to have an open conversation about a historical moment, but also saying, you know, she's got a job to do. And as historical as this might be, just because she's the first woman vice president doesn't mean that she has done a good job. She has a job to do. But don't think for a second that the next person who comes in there, whether they be male or female, could do a good job or a bad job. That there's action that is involved in the glory that you give somebody for what they choose to do and what they choose to stand for. So I think I don't want to discount the historical moment that is a female vice president. Certainly that is the perspective that I consume this ticket on. I'm sure that for young people of color, that they have a similar reaction to this that I couldn't relate to on that, and I wouldn't pretend to, but I respect it. But I think it's extremely important that in the context of any of these conversations, that we hold people accountable for what they said they would go do. This is not the finish line for glass ceilings, you know, for little American girls everywhere. It's not done. It's just getting started. You have to prove that you have earned the right for the job and that you've earned the votes of the people who cast them for you. And this is just a vice president. I'm going to say my personal reaction to Joe Biden's speech, his delivery of his speech, I thought he did an impressive job in what he said and how he delivered it. And in doing so, I think he kind of surprised me in that regard. But when you're talking about unity, it's important to remember that unity is a reaction. Unity isn't something you go out and do. You can't make unity happen. Unity is a result of the behavior of two people on opposing sides coming together and saying it's worth it for us to pair up and to unify so that we can accomplish something. Unity isn't demanded conformity. And I know that's what a lot of us feel like today. I gotta say, you know, I don't know Joe Biden personally. I think Joe Biden on the surface is a politician. He seems pretty harmless to me as a dude, you know, kind of like the Uncle Joe, who I'm now calling Great Uncle Joe or Grandpa Joe. I think that he is somebody who seems very good at the retail politics of what it takes to get done winning an election, achieving an office, understanding that talking to people matters. And when you have conversations with people, I mean, this is, I'm going to say this right now. If you're going to learn anything from Joe Biden, I think that what you can learn is that if you are willing to have conversations with people, and this might be vintage Joe Biden a little bit more than recently, COVID got in the way of that, but Joe Biden would talk to people. And when you have an actual real conversation with people, you have the opportunity to understand one another in a way that if you depart from that conversation, even if you don't completely agree with one another, you care about the person as a human being more than you care about winning a political argument. I think that's who Joe Biden has been. I don't really know who Joe Biden is now. One of the reactions that I was listening to on the coverage today was talking about how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, this is so perfectly put, have been treated like celebrities up until this day. And you know what that means, and I know what that means. And the irony of it, and I'm not going to say Donald Trump's name a whole lot today because there's time for that. I don't think that today is that day. And I don't think it's particularly helpful. But when you look at the fact that Donald Trump and Melania Trump were celebrities, they are celebrities. They got here because they are celebrities. And everything about celebrity in this country is celebrated. In many cases, it is worshipped. And they got into office and they were worshipped. They were lauded for who they were until they became conservatives and Republicans. Their great sin, their scarlet letter, was that they were on the wrong side of the aisle. And they didn't, specifically Donald Trump, did not fight the way his predecessors fought. He did not fight on the turf with the agreed upon rules that people enter this gladiator arena to fight in. He didn't play by that way. And it just is so very apparent to me that in this day and age, if you want to serve your country and you want to do it the easy way, then you've got to play by their rules. But playing by their rules is not what's best for this country. Playing by their rules, going by the guidelines, shaking the right hands and turning your hand up to say no thanks to the approved and the unapproved people, that's how you win elections and that's how you stay in office. And we have a lot of people right now who have won elections and who have stayed in office, who, in my opinion, have not done so for the betterment of this country. They've done so for the betterment of themselves. And the entrance and the exit of Donald Trump into the office of the presidency has really exposed how it's done and how they perceive it is not allowed to be done. And I think that we're probably in the sixth inning to find out what happens with Donald Trump going forward. There is seriously a lot of this story yet to be written. And when it comes to Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, we're going to see his call for unity. If he wants unity, he has to understand one very important thing, that unity in this country will be a reaction to his actions. And if he wants to hear conservatives, if he wants to hear the 74, 75 million people who did not vote for him, who voted against him, even potentially in a scenario that they didn't love the president that they were voting for, those 74, 75 million people will unite with him in reaction to an understanding of who they are. And I have yet to see anything from the Biden platform, yet to see anything from the Biden team, the people who he has assembled, that makes me think anything more than that I am a member of a cult, that I need to be deprogrammed, that everything that I have in my head needs to be spun around like it's in a blender and poured out so that new information can be poured in. So if you're willing to listen to the other side, and I don't know that that's the case right now, maybe we can have unity. If you're not willing to listen to the other side, then we fight fair and we fight hard and we fight peacefully, but we fight and we work our way back in 2022 with good people, good candidates to restore some sanity and order and put the stop sign up for the furthering of this progressive movement that Joe Biden is going to be ushered in. They want it. It's theirs. Now we watch and we look for the good, but we do not ignore the bad. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jim Durkin, is that correct, Katie?
That is correct.
Illinois House Minority Leader is going to join us. We're going to get an update on what's going on in the Illinois House with the new Speaker of the House, no longer Mike Madigan. And we're going to continue to get the reaction throughout the course of the day. I'm excited to talk to you guys about how you felt about this and how you're feeling, because I'm getting some messages from you. They're hurting my heart because I know your heart is hurting as well. We will be fine. I promise you, we will be fine. Be anxious for nothing. That counts even right now. Let's take a quick break and speak to Leader Durkin when we return.
Here's what I tell everyone.
I'm humbled by the faith you've placed in us. To all those who did not support us, let me say this.
Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart. And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength. Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be a president for all Americans. All Americans. And I promise you, I will fight as hard for those who did not support me as for those who did.
So there is Joe Biden, President Biden, from his inauguration speech earlier today. I thought that from a delivery standpoint and the words of the speech, I thought it was a fairly good one by President Biden. And I'll say this, too. I didn't really have like a high bar set for him on his delivery. And I'll tell you this, the same thing when President Trump was inaugurated and he came, I mean, like, to me, Donald Trump has never been in order. He's an entertainer in the sense that when he's off the cuff and he's riffing, that's when you get the most Donald Trump out of him. When he's, you know, you think about some of those really impactful speeches that he gave, especially when it has to do with foreign policy. And it's like, if you screw up your words here, you could cause like some major fallout, like literal fallout. And when he would read from the teleprompter, and it was all teleprompter, I always knew, like, this is probably a billion times more important than the things he says off the cuff, but I'm having a hard time. I'm having a really hard time, like, getting into this. Joe Biden is not going to be known for his speeches. But he's got a ton ahead of him. I have to tell you, while we're waiting for Leader Durkin to join us here, I am getting a ton of messages from people in my life, or people who, family and friends and coworkers who are A, asking me how I'm doing, and B, struggling themselves today. And I want to tell you a story. This is a real God's honest truth story. This morning, my 4-year-old runs into, she's always the first one up, and she runs into the bedroom and she jumps on my bed and cuddles up to me, and she's just happy. It's a blessing to wake up happy. Like, that is not, that is something that God gave her and not me. Let's be fairly honest with you. I did not get that blessing, but she did. And I said good morning, and she's like all snuggly and giggly and 4, so she's cute. There's a part where all of this becomes less cute, and they're big and they're heavy and they're like on you, and you're like, okay,
you're sweating. Now, get off.
She's still in the cute zone, so it's totally welcome. She's wearing fuzzy PJ pants, and she's got curly hair, and it is everywhere for days. And I said, how are you? And she's like, good. And she's so excited. I said, is today going to be a good day? And she goes, it's going to be a great day. I go, why is it going to be a great day? And she goes, because I'm going to see the people I love. And I just thought, thank you for that little moment in time, that slice of honesty and that slice of just purity from the mouth of a 4-year-old. That's what I needed to hear. And I thought, my message to you today is, if you get to see somebody you love today, it's still a good day. And if you didn't have that pep in your step, like my 4-year-old did when she got out of bed, neither did I, but that gave me the pep in my step I needed to get up and get moving. So if you get to see somebody you love today, remember that that means it's a blessed day. I want to get to our guest, Leader Jim Durkin, the House, Illinois House Republican Minority Leader, is joining us right now. Leader Durkin, thank you for coming on the show with us today. Obviously, it's a big day on the national scale. We have a President Biden, and a lot is going to be happening on the national stage, but certainly in the state of Illinois, we've seen a lot come out of this lame duck session. You guys are back in session now with your new assembly. What can you tell us about what is ahead for the state of Illinois?
Well, you know, that's a good question. But Annie, thank you for putting me on your show. I love the Metro East, and I've had great moments down there, and I will say that I'm so pleased with the Metro East and with our new representative, Amy Ellick, that she gave one of my nomination speeches last week. So I just had to add that. But
awesome.
But Annie, you know, that this was Mike Madigan's final. This was his goodbye to Illinois, was to force at the last minute some really heavy-duty pieces of legislation that were part of the Legislative Black Caucus's agenda. But the problem is that these bills were given to us at the last second, last minute, and we did not vote for them. But these are bills that are going to cost the state of Illinois, whether it's on health care, billions of dollars. But there was one in particular, a bill that is a criminal justice reform bill that is going to be a major, major setback for public safety in the state of Illinois if the governor signs this bill. And this had to deal with police licensing certification, but also ending the cash bail system. But there's provisions in this bill that are so anti-victim. I'm very troubled by it. I come from a line of being a prosecutor. I understand the world of criminal justice and also due process, but there are aspects of this bill that are so troubling to me as a citizen and also as a person who believes in the criminal justice system. And it was done at the last minute of the morning of the legislative session where the Republicans were actually cut off. Our debate was cut off by the Democrats on this criminal justice bill. So, Annie, this is typical of Mike Madigan, though, as I said earlier. This is Mike Madigan, what I believe made the deal with the Legislative Black Caucus, that he is going to pass whatever agenda items that they want. Just make sure that you can commit to me for votes. And you know what? Mike Madigan is at least on face no longer the speaker, but he hasn't left the legislature. So we have a budget. I'm taking up a lot of the space, but I just want to give you a real quick snapshot. Yeah. We have a major budget problem. As I've said, and other members have said, that for the past many months, that the Democrats were irresponsible. The governor's complaining that he has a budget that is balanced, that's off balance by about $3 billion. We told him you cannot balance a budget based on future conditions coming true. One was the graduated tax that failed miserably, but also hoping for a federal bailout. Now the tax failed, the bailout isn't here yet. So he's saying, all right, Republicans, where are your cuts? I said, well, our cuts were back when we told you can't spend this money that you don't have back in May. So this is your problem, sir. So we're operating with an unbalanced budget. But I will say this, Annie, with Mike Madigan and all other Democrats over the years, they never cared about a balanced budget. They never did in any time in the past 10 years. So at least J.B. Pritzker believes that we have to have a budget that is balanced, but he doesn't understand that we can't spend money that we don't have. So that's going to be, I will say, a major issue for the legislature. But now that we have a new speaker, Annie, and I've known Mr. Welch for a number of years, and he was the chairman of the Special Investigation Committee on Mike Madigan. I don't believe that he did a good job for the citizens of Illinois, but I'm going to start fresh. We have a new legislative session ahead of us. We have a new speaker, and I said, and I've said this publicly, that the sign of goodwill and good faith that I will see from Mr. Welch, if he's willing to work with Republicans to get a fair document that will be our new House rules, which will open up the process for all members to have at least a voice in this process of how bills will be moved through the legislative system, as opposed to the speaker controlling every bill when they're going to be called. So I gave you a lot.
No, that's fantastic.
Before, there's a whole lot of questions about the new speaker and about the budget. Illinois House Minority Leader Jim Durkin on the phone with us. But real quick, so many people have even contacted me in my personal life about this criminal justice reform bill. Is there a chance that the governor won't sign this thing?
He made a statement that it sounds great, but I don't think the governor has actually read through it. So I'm going to be making an offer to him to not sign the bill, that I will go line by line with him on the bill. He's a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. He's not a litigator. I'm a litigator. I'm a prosecutor. I understand the criminal justice system. But there are a few aspects of it that are so troubling. One of them, again, this whole notion of cash bail, elimination of cash bail and the only way that you can have a person detained is that the prosecution has to ask for a detention hearing. And that's for only in cases where we have defined as forcible felonies. Now, look at the statute that talks about forcible felonies. It doesn't cover every violent crime, but I also think that we're going to allow drug traffickers and people who are dealing drugs to be able to walk out on a cash bond. But there's another provision which is really bad. This is the worst of it all, is that when you have a detention hearing, the Democrats included a provision that states that in a case where there is a violent crime or forcible felony, and that could be a sexual assault, a home invasion, a aggravated battery, domestic violence, that the defendant can petition the court and have the complaining witness appear at the bond hearing. This is a, think about this. This is a child. This is a woman who has been violently assaulted, is going to be forced within 48 hours of an arrest or a crime to have to appear at a bond hearing.
That's terrible.
To, for what purpose? I have no idea. I've done 1,000, if 10,000 bond hearings. The purpose of a bond hearing is to determine whether or not there's probable cause to detain, not probable cause to go to trial.
I mean, we've talked a lot about this police reform bill. This it's not something that we've supported here, and we've encouraged people to pay attention to it. And I would encourage people to contact J.B. Pritzker right now and make sure that your voice is heard. It's good to see that you're trying to work with him to modify some of this. Hopefully he responds to that. Leader Durkin, before we let you go, I want to know a little bit more about your thoughts on the next 2 years here with a new speaker, with Speaker Welch. It sounds to me like you're going into this with an open mind, and you know, we know how Mike Madigan has worked for decades, the entirety of my lifetime. In Springfield, Illinois, there's a new sheriff in town, and you're suggesting that maybe there's some opportunity for some real effective change. What are you encouraging this next assembly here to try to achieve that is going to benefit the people, the taxpayers of the state of Illinois?
Well, first and foremost, it's going to have to be with our budget and the way in which we spend their money, not our money, the people's money. And we have to live within our means. We have to actually pay attention to something called a revenue estimate. To me, that is extremely important. I will say any next is going to be ethics reform. We are in the midst of probably the largest scandal in Illinois history, with Speaker Madigan and ComEd. And also, I will say that those are, and as I said earlier, the issue of the House rules are extremely important as well. So spending, ethics reform, and I'll include pension reform. If there is a new day in Springfield and that there's a willingness to not walk away and run away from the major issues, but to address them head on, those are the issues that have to be addressed. I've said this, and I'm blue in the face, but our pensions take up now 25% of our state spending, and that's just no longer acceptable. And that's for less than 2% of the population.
Before I let you go here, I want to ask you to encourage our listeners here. Certainly, Amy Ehlich has replaced Monica Bristow. A lot of people in the listening audience are very happy, and the reason why that is the case. We know that Katie Stewart in the 112th, as my representative, voted again for Mike Madigan. That seems to be the backwards way of thinking in the state of Illinois. What do you encourage people who are in these districts with a Katie Stewart or with a Hoffman or any of these southern representatives that are still invested in supporting some of these, you know, yesterday ways of doing business in the state of Illinois? Should they contact them?
What are they getting out of it? What are they getting out of these representatives? They've spent a career following Mike Madigan, and look, they're pleasant people. I know them well, but the fact is they are all in line with him. And Mike Madigan's agenda for Illinois has been nothing more about him maintaining power and walking away from, I think, a fair representation. So if you'll see that both of them have voted with Mike Madigan on budgets, and which are grossly out of order and grossly unbalanced. I think Katie Stewart's got some explaining to do. Look, she's been with him. She's taken his money over and over the years. She voted against him, but the fact is, I think it's a little too little too late. So this is an area that we were able to do, we made great progress in the Metro East over the past two cycles, and I think it's representative of, there's good, honest people like Amy Ehlich and David Freese who flipped Democrat seats because people saw who they are, that they are their own person. They are not puppets of Mike Madigan, and that they will represent their district and not the 13th Ward of Chicago.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that right now, the Metro East still has work to do, and we're going to continue to push here in the southern part of the state for reform, for common sense reform. I love hearing you talk about ethics reform, because nothing can happen until that type of stuff gets taken care of. So, Leader Durkin, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Annie, anytime. No, I would just say that until we can police ourselves in that building, we will never get anywhere, and we will not make any progress. So I'm prepared to do it. Speaker Welch, I'm extending the olive branch for him to put ethics reform above everything. We can get that done immediately.
We'd love to have him on the show as well. Thank you. Thank you so much for the time, Leader. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Ian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's good to hear. Like, that's better than, I don't know if it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know, but Mike Madigan, as long as Mike Madigan was in there as the speaker, we knew what we were going to get. And ethics reform has to happen before anything else. If you know how Mike Madigan worked in Springfield, he had his thumb on every single thing that happened before it could even come to a vote. Republicans would put up bills, they'd kill them in committee, and then the Democrats would flip them and then present them as Democrat bills, and then the Democrats would get the credit for it. That's just the way business goes in Springfield. It's probably not just Springfield, Illinois. It's probably a lot of that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, kind of keeping my eye on this gift presentation that's going on right now at the inauguration. I'll tell you what, without sound, it looks real weird. Like, these gifts don't look practical. Like, I don't know what kind of practical gift that you would. Here's a Ninja air fryer. I mean, that would be practical. I see two nicely folded flags. That looks kind of cool. Those glass vases that were etched in something. I just am like, where would I put that? I don't live in the White House. I guess I don't know. Katie and Ryan, we'll get your reaction to the events of the day when we come back. So stick around. It is Inauguration Day. President Joe Biden has been sworn in. Ooh. And we move forward. Because that's the way time goes. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show in a minute.
In each of these moments, enough of us have come together to carry all of us forward. And we can do that now. History, faith, and reason show the way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury. No progress, only exhausting outrage. No nation, only a state of chaos. This is our historic moment of crisis and challenge. And unity is the path forward.
So there's Joe Biden from earlier today in his, I almost said acceptance speech. That's not really what it is. I don't think you accept the presidency. I don't know. Maybe you do.
No, he did not accept
His acceptance speech when they handed him the presidency. That's not what happened. He delivered the speech. I thought he did a pretty good job. I didn't have high expectations, but he did rise above my moderate to low expectations. And again, I will measure that comment with never really feeling like Donald Trump when it came to delivering a speech. The one that I remember that sticks out in my brain was when he gave the first joint session speech, which wasn't actually a State of the Union speech, because your first one in is not really a State of the Union because it's not really your State of the Union. Katie, so it's been a day.
It's been a day.
It's been a day. It is 12:52. There is day left. There's daylight left. How you feeling about what we've seen so far?
Well, I thought what we watched was classy. I thought it was peaceful, which is exactly what I think we need right now. But this whole time I was thinking, I remember in 2016, whenever this was happening with Trump, people were hysterical. They were crying and screaming in the streets. CNN and MSNBC were showing footage of people just bawling their eyes out because they were so upset. And I did not like that. I don't like any of that drama. I think that that was the stupidest thing. So I'm not going to do that today. There's a winner. There's a loser. Trump didn't win. I'm going to hold Biden's feet to the fire. I'm going to hold the administration to the fire and make sure that I call the balls and strikes with that administration. I can't wait to play offense and not defense. But something that happened that he said that you just played, Annie, he's saying finally now, like, we don't have to be against one another and we don't have to be enemies. I'm not going to change my behavior towards anyone because Joe Biden is the president. Just like I wasn't going to change my behavior towards anyone when Trump was the president.
Why in the world would you act like an adult?
Right.
Nobody else is.
That is not up to Biden or to Trump to determine how I treat other people. I will treat people with respect and dignity, and I will have discussions with them. So don't come in here already, Biden, and say, like, now it's going to be peaceful because I'm here. No, we can dictate our own behaviors. I'm an individual. We can be okay.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about the unity ploy? Are you up for it? Are you like, all right, I'll put my hand in the middle?
I am hoping that all of the craziness that surrounds social media and the hype that surrounds politics and conversations can simmer down finally. But again, that shouldn't be because Biden is president. That should be because we're adults.
It also shouldn't be because you on the other side are willing to act like an adult.
Absolutely.
That's kind of crap.
Totally.
It doesn't mean you should not act like an adult, but...
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm looking forward to having discussions that are decent and okay discussions with another human being, but it's not because Biden is president.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan?
It's interesting. This morning, I wasn't expecting to feel this way, but I was having flashbacks of Obama, and I would listen to his speeches, and Joe Biden's was the same way, where nothing these guys ever say, I disagree with. Everything they say is polished. It sounds really good. Yeah. But then their actions are completely contrary to what I would hope that they would be. We didn't get that for 4 years. I forgot that most of the time politicians are politicians and they sound like that. And they say stuff that just kind of is benign. It sounds nice. And then their actions do, you know, they do whatever they want, but they say nice things. Trump didn't do that.
I think it's interesting, too, because I don't want a smooth city. Like when you go to buy a car, don't you want someone who's going to talk straight to you and say,
yes,
this is what I can do on the car. This is what I can do. And if this doesn't work for you, I understand that. But this is the best I can do. And I'm going to give it to you straight, as opposed to someone who, I mean, if the slicker they are, the less you want to deal with it. Politicians are the same thing. That's why you go to Kazan's, because they're like that. Kazanscan.com. They can appreciate that plug. Don't send that to them. I mean, it really is. Katie, can I have an extra minute here?
Of course.
I mean, it really is so true that there's got to be a genesis somewhere where you can have both honesty, directness, and civility. Like, maybe next time. And you know what? I'm still saying, if I want honesty first and foremost. Don't pee on my leg. Tell me it's raining. I'm a big girl. I can handle the truth. I prefer the truth because it helps me better prepare my life as a mother and as an employee and as a wife moving forward. I can handle the truth. You do not need to coddle me. The next pundit who comes on to react today that says something about how it feels today, in the essence, like, now we have a president. Like, we've got a real treat for you, lady. Later, Katie put something together. I'm just going to give you a hint. Celine Dion is involved.
Oh, the guy who changed his name?
What?
No, oh, you didn't see that. Never mind. Sorry.
No. What? I don't know.
The guy changed his name to Celine Dion.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
But, okay.
I mean, unless maybe Katie picked a different song that I don't know about.
Nope.
Stick with us. We're going to continue to cover this throughout the course of the day. We are going to be a bright spot in your afternoon. Don't leave us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.